my presentation. I'm very excited to have the opportunity to talk to you about a project that we have been doing now for 2 years. The first year we started the Walk a Hound, Lose a Pound program. I must say, I went into it with jubilation, as I usually do with a new project, but I didn't realize just how jubilant I would be until the end of the project. And now we're into our second year, so I want to tell you a bit about it. And it is my privilege to serve in two worlds. I have a joint appointment in the College of Veterinary Medicine as well as in the Sinclair School of Nursing. I really am an aging person. You see, I work with gerontology. It's my field. I am aging. And my husband says I'm happier to see the dogs when I come home than I am to see him. And I say, well, if you came running to the door wagging all parts of your body, I'd be equally happy to see you, and I have nothing to disclose. Thank you. The Walk a Hound, Lose a Pound project is a community dog walking project that we launched last year. It is a collaboration between the Parks and Rec Department of Columbia, Missouri. We are located in the geographic epicenter of the country, also known as the middle of nowhere. And we're a community of about 80,000 with a major research intensive university and two small private colleges. And the whole notion of this program evolved from a former study that we had conducted in our center, where we found that we were able to engage sedentary residents, obese residents of public housing to comply 72% of the time in a graduated walking program where we gave them a loner dog to walk. And the reason they said they had such compliance or adherence was because they thought the dogs needed them to walk them. The dogs were employees of our study and really didn't need to be walked. They were walking an awful lot. But the sensation, the idea of walking because the dog needed it, as Jackie was saying in the lit review, is so important. So my thinking then led me to, could we have great adherence and have some positive outcomes by encouraging people to walk dogs that actually do need to be walked, that is, shelter dogs. So here's the logic model for the project, and this was developed actually by Jackie. And you can see down the left column you have the inputs, the shelter resources, the health department. We also collaborated with the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services, who provided educational information about activity and nutrition for us to give out to our participants. And the major collaborator was the Central Missouri Humane Society, which is, of course, where we got the dogs. And pet supply organizations were helpful in providing treats for our participants to give the dogs. And I'll say that no dog gained weight in our study. Just make that clear, Kathy. Then down the next column are the activities. You have a whole lot of things that happened. We had a volunteer coordinator. We had a whole bevy of student participants. They came for internships, practica, service learning opportunities, volunteer work. They came and they came and they came, and they're still coming. And then we had a whole lot of materials to create, to prepare for this. You'll see our t-shirts with their logos. We had signage. We had adverts. It's a whole community-based program, and you know about that because you're public health people. So that's what's involved in the activity column. Then we have short-term outcomes. Of course, we had volunteers that we recruited. We trained volunteers to help us with all the phases of the project and certainly developed a lot of procedures. And what I'm going to show you is, of course, IRB approved. Then intermediate outcomes is the dogs were walked. There was quite an astounding expression of social support among the participants. The dogs didn't seem to mind it either. And we certainly had a lot of increase in the activities, physical activity. So what we hope in the long run is that we will continue to have increased physical activity. We had many people who volunteered to go and walk to shelter dogs even after the project ended the first year, and we stop it when the weather starts to get cold. So we hope that this will be a sustainable project, and so far it has. This is our second year. Here's the study design. You can see our magnificent t-shirts. Hopefully you'll see the logo a little clearer in subsequent pictures. This was a one-group pre-test, post-test design. Ideally, we would like to have had a randomized clinical trial. It simply wasn't possible. This is community research. We were recruiting participants from all sorts of avenues, from the recreation center via, I went on the little local TV channel that all the senior citizens watch at 10:30 on Thursday mornings and talked about it, and we were on radio, and we did a whole rash of publicity. And people came to the shelter weekly to walk these dogs. What we measure is their weight, exercise patterns, and we also checked blood pressure. Then, as pre-post measures, we used some mood and social support instruments. These are paper and pencil, psychometrically well-validated instruments. And then we looked at physical activity stage of change, which has been consistently used as an indicator of someone's willingness to engage in activity. And then you can also look at it as to how that activity changes over time. So our procedure was, we had all ages coming to participate. And our procedure was that they would choose a four-week slot, starting in April and ending last year, the first week in November, and it got pretty darn cold then. So this year, we just finished this past Saturday on October 25th. They'd come to the shelter. We gave them one of our wonderful T-shirts. We provided a whole lot of water. I don't know if you know about Missouri, but it gets what I would call darned hot there. And I would say it another way, but it wouldn't be as acceptable. Rather hot, and so we provided a lot of water for the animals and the people, and nutrition information from the DHSS. So what happened is the shelter staff identify dogs through behavior screening anyway as dogs that are adoptable. So these dogs were identified already by the shelter staff as adoptable and amenable to such a program. That means they weren't holy terrors that were going to drag people down the road and kill them. They were already identified as decent walkers. But what we did was to match people up with their ability and the dog's particular characteristics. So the turbo walking dogs got the energetic woman that wanted to sit, I'll take two. And she headed out with two leads and went 3 miles, ran, and came back and got two more. And she stayed with us the whole summer the first year. It was mind-boggling. She got pregnant and still stayed with us. So they walked on this little nature trail that we have very close to the shelter. And I have to say that the success of such a project is really dependent on the capability of having a decent place to walk. Other programs that have done the Walk-A-Hound project, such as in Indianapolis, have had to truck the dogs around to the two parks, and this can create some difficulties. We didn't have that problem. We don't. We have the benefit of having the shelter very close, and the nature trail is beautiful. We had many children involved. Here are some findings from last year's work. We had 69 participating in the study, yet we had 198 people participating in the program. You know, we live in a university town, so people are quite familiar that almost anything they do is going to have a study attached. So they often say, I'm going to walk, but I'm not going to be in any study. So we had 69 people who agreed to be in the study, and you can see we had more females than males. The age range is incredible. The 85-year-old lady rode her bike 40 miles a week and rode her bike to walk the dogs and walk them the entire 3-hour period from 8 to 11 in the morning.
Not the same dog.
No, she was. No, no dogs were injured as part of this study. We rotate the dogs. Yeah, and we give them water. Yes. And I'm going to report today about the physical activity stage of change. These are some findings we can really rest our hats on and we're very excited about. You can see that we did have an increase. It was a significant increase. When they started out, they were at 4.8, which means that they had vigorous exercise less than 3 times a week or moderate exercise less than 5 times a week. These were not the vigorous exercisers, despite the lady who got pregnant and kept running. But by post-test, after their four-week session with us, they had increased their physical exercise to 30 minutes a day, moderate exercise, 5+ days a month. And what we heard from the people saying as they came back from walking, I just walked a dog 2 miles. I never walked 2 miles. I can walk a lot more than I do. So there was an increase in their awareness of their ability, capacity to exercise more, and thus we think that that's what happened here in creating this finding. So last year we had 198 different participants. This year we have had an amazing increase, 40 to 46 a week. So we expect that there will be probably 400 or 500 people by the time we finish and look at these data for this year. The loyalty was amazing. We had people starting this year coming wearing their t-shirt from last year. I'm here and I'm a veteran, you know. It was like, oh, you've come in uniform. This is really great. They have routinely reflected the notion of helping these dogs. Now, the next question you'll ask me is, of course, I'll talk about some other outcomes, and you'll ask about the dog outcomes, and I'll talk about that. We had primary school children, thank you, Jim, who came and did projects. We had a little girl who won a 4-H award doing a project regarding these dogs. Her mother would take a picture of her with every dog that she walked. We had 15 students that did these various projects and completed, and there is one of them. And dog-related outcomes, we had from our participants 5 new volunteers who took the 2-hour training to be a volunteer at the shelter and began going there regularly to walk. They'd say, I don't want to just do this on Saturday. Can't I do this more? Turn you right over to the shelter staff, and they connected up, and they became dog-walking volunteers. Then we had at least 10 to 15 dogs. We did rotate them weekly, and there were only 3 adoptions. And I think, you know, ideally I would have liked to have had all of these dogs adopted. However, what we found was these were participants who for one reason or another were thinking that this is not a good time for them to have a dog. They've newly retired. They don't have the time. They're traveling all the time. We had an awful lot of college students. Remember, we have 3 colleges in this town. So these were a lot of college students who wanted to get a dog fix, but can't have it in the dorm, and it was served a good purpose for them. What we do believe and what we found out per the shelter staff is the dogs were becoming more adoptable. They were having better leash walking skills, and this is simply an anecdotal report. However, in a study that we've just completed, we have done a matched trial comparison with the dogs that we've used, and we in fact have found that they have much better adoption rates and much lower euthanasia rates, the dogs that walked versus the control dogs that we had. And we're just analyzing the behavior data. We had daily behavior data on 56 pairs of dogs. So the statistician's going crazy with me about all these data. Why do you collect so much data? Do you really think they're going to improve one day to the next? Yes, they do. So on to the questions. You can see now our magnificent t-shirts. We led them through a stretching routine before we let them go out with the dogs. And I'll be eager to have your questions. And I guess, you know, we are at a point where we're finishing. So that will be my pleasure to answer any questions or concerns you have. Thank you.